Welcome to KB On The Go, and today I'm on the go at AusCert's annual conference in the sunny Gold Coast. I'll be reporting on the ground here at the Star Casino. AusCert brings together cybersecurity professionals, academics, government representatives, and industry leaders to share knowledge, discuss emerging threats, and promote collaboration in the fight against cybercrime. So for this bonus interview, I have lined up AusCert's General Manager, Ivano Bongiovanni, so please stay tuned. So, Ivano, we're here on the Gold Coast, the sunny Gold Coast, and you presented earlier today for the AusCert conference, and you mentioned a couple of things at the start of the day that I want to speak to you more about. So you talked around what does this all mean for us as an industry, and a couple of the points that you touched on were the future will encompass a range of professionals, including code and communicators, so coders and communicators, people who manage risk and manage relationships. So you're sort of looking at one end of the spectrum to the other. So I'm curious, let's start there. What, if you were to zoom out, what does that sort of mean to you when you look at all these professionals from both sides of the spectrum?
Yeah, I think it's probably the takeaway message there is really to look into developing complementary skill sets with people. I think in cyber, probably we have been traditionally working quite in isolation, if you want, from that perspective. And the idea is that obviously we have developed subject matter expertise and kind of vertical skills from that perspective. But probably moving forward, I believe it would be very, very appropriate to have more complementary skills. So if you're familiar with the T-shaped professional approach, I think we focused a lot on the vertical trait. We're probably going to need to look into within technically capable people also developing other skills, such as I said, communication, project management, being understanding of businesses, and so on and so forth.
So just to build that a little bit more, one thing historically the industry has always focused on is the technical component. But what I noticed today, the term of coders, communicators, and then managing the risk, but then managing the relationships, are we starting to see the industry move towards, and I hate to say it, soft skills, that would be more hard skills, because, you know, configuring a firewall is probably inherently easier than configuring a human being that has emotions. So what's your view from an AusCert perspective on, to your earlier point, T-shaped professionals? Are you focused now on building that communication piece and the relationships and managing projects rather than, yes, the core technical skills are always going to be there? What does that then look like from the other side of the coin?
Yeah, so first thing first, the core technical skills are always going to be there. And I think I actually strongly believe in the need for having foundational technical skills in professionals because it's very, very important. And, you know, if you can't speak the tech or at least have a level of understanding of the tech, it's very difficult for you to be able to relate to it. What I'm trying to say is we're probably going to need to kind of add on top of that a little bit more than what we have traditionally done. And if you think about it, a lot of the help that we can get from technology is around streamlining. And again, I'm thinking AI, but not only AI, is really streamlining some of those technical skills and making humans more efficient at performing them. And obviously that all of a sudden requires people to have a bit more of a holistic understanding of how cybersecurity works within a business. So obviously we're not gonna start asking analysts to straight ahead report to boards, but having that view, especially for people interested in a career progression, having that broader view, being able to step back from the pure technical aspect and having that broader perspective into understanding the business, I think is gonna be more and more necessary. And it doesn't only apply to your core cyber defense skills, it only applies to more traditional GRC skills. Obviously, GRC professionals tend to be more involved in communication, for example, with clients and with other stakeholders, but still they're going to need to build on top of that and really make sure the communication skills are there. And it's just really communication. I look at it from also a project management perspective, being able to take an idea from ideation into execution, into measurement and decisions that come after the project. I think those that are going to have these complementary skill sets are going to have an edge in the industry.
So you asked a question on stage which said, how do we train these people appropriately? So how do we do that? Now, the reason why I ask you is we've been speaking in the industry around, you got to understand the business and you can't speak jargon, but what does that actually mean? Like, what? How do you sort of get it to a point where you can teach people in a course, in a certification? What does that look like from your perspective?
I think it's really about hands-on training, possibly. It's really about getting people first-hand experience, getting them involved in situations in which, you know, they have to communicate, they have to manage stakeholders' expectations, they have to lead a project, and really leaning on that more. I think especially when it comes to communication and, again, stakeholder management, there's probably just as much can be taught traditionally in terms of someone transferring knowledge to you, you absorbing that knowledge and then applying it. It's really learning by doing that's going to be very fundamental. That's why I'm a big fan of facilitated workshops in which participants actually get their hands dirty with doing stuff, practicing, experimenting. Probably we don't give enough space and time and resources for people to experiment so that, yes, the first time they might not get it right, but, you know, we can create safe failure type of situations where maybe the second time is going to be better, and so the third time and the fourth and so on and so forth.
So if you had to generalize majority of cybersecurity professionals today, would you say a lot of them are missing a lot of the communication skills and leading and projects?
It's not just cybersecurity professionals. I think it's a mixed bag across different industries and roles. Obviously, there's some people that tend to lean more on the technical expertise, which is, as I said before, still absolutely fundamental and important to have. I think it's more complementing those skill sets with a broader spectrum of capabilities and skills. And obviously, I think that is also quite natural with the cybersecurity profession and industry evolving in its maturity. It's gone from really having specialized, super specific skills into also requiring people to do more. And obviously, if we don't equip them, the capabilities and the skills necessary for them to do more, we can't really ask them to do so.
And so then what about the stigma in the industry? What I mean by that question would be, as you know, there's always, you're not technical, so therefore you're unimportant. Will that start to dissipate, would you say, now that what you've spoken about and we're also reading towards and the industry, will that whole you're not technical enough not be a thing moving forward, do you say?
Well, I would probably say that we have already moved away from this idea that if you're not technical, there's a stigma put on you and you actually cannot talk to people. I think the cybersecurity profession has gone a long way in that space. Also because we've seen more and more people with different backgrounds join the cybersecurity ranks, right? I'm thinking of people with a legal background. I'm thinking of, like myself, people with a risk management background. I'm thinking of people that, you know, maybe have a psychology background. It's a collaborative effort. So we need everybody to be able to contribute a level of subject matter expertise. And again, in my opinion, we need most people to be able to add those complementary skill sets into the game. When you put all of that together with a very well glued mechanism, obviously you get better results.
So the other point on the speech about today, Ivano, would be the whole professionalization. I've seen people on LinkedIn having very vicious arguments around it. The for, the against, the arguing. Help me make sense of it.
It's a heated topic. It's a very debated topic. Look, personally, I see pros and cons with both camps. It is a very difficult subject, if I can say, because obviously there's a mixed battle of opinions in that space. So I think the important thing to me is to have the conversation, not being afraid of speaking to people that we know think differently from us, that have a different perception, and really kind of have that open discussion and interaction where we can make sense of what, as I said, it's a very complex topic together. And obviously, you know, there's going to be probably moments where it feels like we're leading toward a more structured professionalization approach. But then, you know, technology gets in the way. So maybe we're working towards giving a structure to something that by definition in the future is not going to be a structure because we're going to have new roles that maybe sit outside the professionalization stream. I think it has to be an ongoing conversation.
Why would you say it's so heated?
There's different camps. There's probably, you know, basically two camps. It's quite a polarizing topic. Some people are all for the professionalization scheme and think that must be done. Other people think that that's not a good idea. And obviously, when it comes to professions and the nature itself of a profession, especially for some people, that kind of really touches upon what they've been doing for most of their life. So I think naturally, it's a topic that is particularly prone to having these heated conversations.
So you mentioned before there are pros in both camps. So walk me through camp one, camp two, however you want to.
Yeah, look, the proponents of the professionalization scheme believe that it's important to have structured cybersecurity professionals. for people that have gone through a specific set of education and milestones, because that prevents then having people that maybe have not had that background, baseline education or experience propose themselves as cybersecurity experts or professionals, okay? On the other end of the spectrum, that's people that are actually against the professionalization scheme because they believe that, you know, basically market regulates itself. Cybersecurity, they say, is not really a profession like, for example, a legal profession or a medical profession where there is a structure set of milestones that gets you to be certified or non-certified. Those are very different camps, very different positions. And obviously, when those two positions talk to each other, that really makes it an ongoing conversation.
What's your position?
I don't really have a set opinion on this. As I said before, I see pros and cons of both. I'm just keen on, you know, people having an open debate and an open conversation about it.
So going back to, obviously, people that are very focused on having a structured set of skill sets, again, I see both sides, and my role has always been neutral in these conversations. But if I look under that a little bit more, who is anyone to say you don't deserve to be here because you don't have the 20 years of experience? Everyone starts somewhere.
That's probably the argument that the people that are opposing professionalization are putting forward, right? What is the ultimate authority that should be able to decide who should be in or who should not be in? Whereas the people that are actually proposing the professionalization scheme are saying, well, actually, just as we have those authorities in other professions, we can have that type of authority in cybersecurity as well.
But don't you think because of this polarization, it means that we're losing sight of the game? The game meaning we're here to combat cybercrime, and yet we're arguing about who deserves to be here, who doesn't deserve to be here.
At the end of the day, the professionalization conversation baseline is we're trying to improve the way in which we protect organizations and individuals and society in general. So I feel in the journey of the cybersecurity profession and industry to be more mature, it's almost natural that we're going to hit this type of debates. And I think it's actually a positive thing to have this debate and think about what qualifies a cybersecurity professional. Is it possible to do it or not? So I think it's part of the process, just as has been in other professions.
So I've asked this question in previous interviews around, obviously, to be a doctor, you can't just go out and be a doctor. You got to get a certification and all of that, right? You got to go to university for a number of years and become qualified. But then I asked people, I said, well, why would we make it even harder? We don't have enough people as it is. So we're going to raise the bar even more when we can't get enough people in to say, well, sorry, John, you're going to work 10 years and go to university and do all these other things. How does that sit with you?
If I think of the people that are actually proposing the professionalization scheme, their argument is more not so much to reflect on the numbers, but to look at the quality of the people that are going through the cybersecurity ranks. Whereas, yes, it's actually one of the arguments that people are actually opposing the professionalization scheme. And they're saying, well, we already have a bit of a lack of professionals in cybersecurity. So if we make it even harder, probably we're going to, for a matter of numbers, we're going to have even more challenges in getting enough professionals in cybersecurity.
So given this conundrum, you don't see this debate being a detractor from battling cybercrime?
I think it's just a matter of how we have that debate. If the debate is adversarial and constantly confrontational and not constructive, then certainly it is a problem. But if the debate is open, is with the willingness to lead to the uplift of cybersecurity as a profession, as I said, I think it's part of the game, having that debate.
So from your experience, how do we get to the point where it is open and we can hear both sides and doesn't get savage online and people getting upset? How do you think we can get to that point as an industry?
I think we kind of have to look at the final goal. And I believe that the final goal of everyone is improving the cybersecurity professionals, being more mature as an industry and do our job better at the end of the day. If we do not lose track of that, and if we don't get bogged down with personalities and personal opinions and so on, I think we can already start creating good conditions to have an open communication and an open debate.
Is there a way that we could potentially as an industry meet in the middle? And what I mean by that would be, hey, you don't have to go do a 4-year degree because as things are changing, skills are atrophying because technology is advancing so fast. Is there a point where we can say, hey, you've got a base certification, which is maybe it's 12 months instead of 4 years? And that keeps both sides happy, or you don't think there's an equilibrium yet?
I don't really know if it's a matter of the length of education. Oftentimes, there's situations in which in a very relatively short time, you can actually learn a lot and accumulate a lot of experience and skills. It's probably, you know, being able to understand how important it is for people to be exposed to a set of different industries and problems and challenges. And again, looking at those high level skills like problem solving, yes, your technical expertise, absolutely, but also problem solving, communications, as I said before, stakeholder management, those skills that actually cut across the different roles that we have in cybersecurity. If we don't lose track of that, I think we can actually all work together to figure out ways, whatever they are, for people to be better at being cybersecurity professionals.
And do you envision that we'll get to the point where people are sort of a little bit more at peace with the whole professionalization or non, or where do you think it's going to take time?
It will certainly take time, but I think the fact that it's taking time and the fact that we are having this debate, I honestly see it as a very positive thing, because it means that we're actually reflecting on what's good for the industry, of all the stakeholders involved in the industry. Obviously, like everything in cybersecurity, it's a maturity approach, right? We started somewhere, we're having these conversations, we'll probably get to a point where, as I said, we maybe are going to have a professionalization scheme, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be other professions in cybersecurity that are going to be relevant. So it's a natural, I believe it's a natural evolution of a profession that used to be very, very niche and with a very specific set of skills, and has expanded and has increased the number of perspectives and skills that are required.
Do you think that also be perhaps the specificity of the roles? If you're doing a super more technical role, maybe you need more of a structured learning or whatever it may be. You look at the medical profession, you're a general purpose doctor, your day-to-day sort of task and what you do is fundamentally different to a brain surgeon, right? So do you see that being, while you're doing that type of role, maybe you have to have more those sort of credentials?
It's a mix of things. Probably, yes, there's something associated with how someone in a specific role can learn better, but it's also a matter of personalities. There's people that learn more through more traditional delivery of contents, especially when it comes to specific sets of skills or domains or areas of expertise. And there's other people that actually maybe are more on the hands-on training type of thing. So I think we need to look at the broader spectrum of opportunities, and also possibly understanding, are we training people, are we educating people to use tool as a plug-and-play type of approach, or are we training people to develop critical thinking, problem-solving, and all of that? That's why when I hear debates around whether a university degree is better than a certification or is better than, say, for example, hands-on training in another circumstances in on-the-job training, I actually think there's space for everything. It really depends on the learners. It depends on the role that these people are learning for. It depends on the organization they're going to work for. And look at, for example, organizational size. Very small organizations tend to have maybe one or two people dedicated to cybersecurity. Those people are going to need to be able to do a little bit of everything. So that kind of transversal set of skills, it's even more important.
So what I'm hearing when you're saying is, depending on how people learn, so I'm probably more of an on-the-job learner than, you know, a studious by the book. Opposite probably to you, Ivano. So you're saying that it doesn't really matter. It's the type of training, whether it's on the job or whether it's more book sort of study or an MLO sort of things, doesn't really matter. So you're looking at more holistically for the outcome.
I would say probably complementary set of training experiences is what works best, right? You can try a little bit of the hands-on. You can actually have someone deliver training to you and explain concepts, especially for higher level skills in terms of, I would probably say, strategic skills in terms of problem solving or communication or, again, stakeholder management. I think a mixed approach is what works best. Again, keeping in mind that different people have different learning styles that they prefer.
Because I think even when I went to school, there was a specific way this is all be learned. And I think perhaps opportunities were missed. We're just using me as an example, so I'm not picking on anyone. If it was perhaps different, the way that you're explaining it, perhaps it would have been a different outcome.
But, you know, when you look at it, I think, for example, universities have moved away from that traditional, you know, one way of learning type of approach. There's more of a mixed bag of experiences. That's why universities are not just teaching in the classroom, but they're involving students in capstone projects or in internship and training opportunities with external organizations. We need to kind of really rethink in the way in which we do training and look at having the different stakeholders, looking at what they contribute, can help build these all-rounded professionals that I believe we need in cybersecurity.
Any sort of closing comments or final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with today?
probably the final thought is, yes, there's a lot of conversations. Yes, there's a lot of debate. Yes, there's confrontation sometimes. But again, it's also a signal of the fact that we are willing to do better in this industry. And I think we cannot move away from this positive message. And I think we need to stick to it and be enthusiastic about what we're doing, because at the end of the day, we're in a very exciting profession that has a lot of opportunities.
And there you have it. This is KB On The Go. Stay tuned for more.